This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on another beautiful East Tennessee spring afternoon. Let's do this thing. Mr. Fabulous, Rick Butler, is here in studio again with me and Bear. GP3 is here. And I know what you're asking. I know. How in the world, how are they going to top yesterday's epic Tony Vitello appearance on the show? It can't be done. Well, I don't know if it can be done or not, but I do know that our guest coming up here in approximately 18 minutes on the show, Christopher Gabriel of 940 ESPN Fresno. I don't know if he could top Tony Vitello, but if there's anybody on our roster of star-studded guests, then it's going to be Hurricane Gabriel coming up here in just a few moments. Rusty Enzer is in hour number two to talk Tennessee baseball as we are about 28 hours away. 28 hours away from the epic confrontation at Lindsey Nelson Stadium between our Tennessee Volunteers and the number one team of the country, Arkansas, coming in here. Folks are fired up. I'm fired up about it. I have pretty much, I am 95% committed at this point to, I will not be here. I'm going to this wedding. So you guys have to hold it down. Have a great time, man.
Oh, we will. We're going to tear it up. We want you to relax and enjoy yourself, Captain.
It's going to be a great weekend in Knoxville, man. I had to turn down two. I got invited to the game tomorrow night, and I got invited to the Saturday game, and I had to turn them both down, but I did that thing. I have this voice in my head, and I know you have it, Bear.
What's that?
I don't know that Rick and GP3 have it. I call it the inner weasel.
Oh, yeah.
I have the inner weasel. And so, for instance, I'm talking to Joe Fowler, friend of the show, earlier today, the guy who took me to the Vanderbilt game. And he was asking me if I wanted to go on Saturday. And I was like, no, I'm going to this thing. I'm already committed. And then I said, you know what, if for some reason I don't go, I would love – and then, like, the inner weasel, my inner weasel started talking. He's like, oh, come on, Russell. You can – this is how the inner weasel sounds. Ah, you can just weasel out, man. You can just make it a mix. You could say your kid has to do something, or you could say you have work or something like that. You could weasel out and go to the game.
I was hoping it'd be like my voice, like, what are you doing, man? You know you want to go to that game. Yeah, you know you do.
Yeah, maybe.
I wish I could go.
The inner weasel. I have to bat him down. Listen, man, I won't sit here and pretend like I don't occasionally listen to the inner weasel and let him. Oh, no, man, I'd really like to go to that artsy-fartsy movie at Downtown West with you this weekend, but what do I have?
You've got a thing with the wife, man. It's her fault. She's making you go to the thing.
Oh, yeah, I've got to go to the thing with my wife. I'd really rather go see this French film with you, but sorry, man, I got to go with the wife. Some of y'all like don't even bother to put the inner, you just, your inner weasel is just, you, that's just you. That's just your regular personality. You just wear it up there.
Yeah, hey, man, you life's too short.
You want to go hiking with me this weekend?
Nah.
No.
No.
Nope.
Too hot. Yeah, I think you might be right. I think for maybe the generation that has had the internet their whole lives and have been able to talk so quickly and so frankly bluntly, it's just a,
it's not good.
Not doing that this weekend.
I think,
sorry.
No,
I
some
mean,
people.
Rick seen me do it. You guys tried to get me go out bar. I was like, nah.
Well,
I'm
some
good.
People. Some I think the inner weasel is good. The inner weasel leads to a lot of politeness. I think a lot of these confrontations that you see on social media, and I think a lot of the hostility in public life nowadays, I think it If we could all, I mean, think if some of these clowns in Washington would just embrace the inner weasel, and it's like.
Well, no, I think they do that way too much.
You don't really want to spend the money on this thing. You'd rather spend the money on this thing that's in your home district.
Like, if you come with a polite way to say that publicly, now people just say, oh, you're full of crap. And then they turn around and do something that's full of crap, and we call them hypocrites, and we've lost control of it. The inner weasel, man. Embrace the inner weasel.
I do.
That's strong. What is the opposite of the inner weasel? Would it be?
Well,
just
no,
the
I actually think
it's called your guilt. It's called integrity. It's called just being honest and doing the right thing. And I don't know.
I feel
it's,
like that's what I do. I just flat out tell you, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, I mean, too, in the opposite way of the inner
weasel.
I'm going
to send you a really nice gift, but I'm not driving 6 hours to sit in church for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Like this kind of what we talked about yesterday, right? It's not necessarily, it's kind of the opposite of your inner weasel. If you did stay back here in Knoxville this weekend and things were all right in North Carolina, you might be thinking in the back of your head the whole time, oh man, like I should be there. Oh, I'm looking at all these people I'm letting down now, and they know I could be there, and they know I should be there, and everything like that.
But I did not let the inner weasel take over. I'm a man of my word. I'm going to doing the right thing. And hey, listen.
That's a little bit different. I mean, you're talking about close blood relatives who you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, and if I and look, it's not like I'm going to be sitting in a church wedding for half an hour. If I can get my rear end up and out of bed and on the road early tomorrow morning, there is a good chance that this time tomorrow, while you guys are doing this show, that I will be on the beach.
Yeah,
no shirt.
You got a promise to call.
Cold beer in my hand.
You're calling.
I'm not calling
I called
you
from the beach.
Okay. This is where the inner weasel just takes a walk out the door. And I hope you all understand. I go to the beach for the first time this year. The first time this summer. Barrett, not only am I not going to call you, the thought of calling you, not even going to enter my mind. It's not even a thing, okay? I will not be thinking about this show. You're lucky if I...
You do not disturb me when you go out of town. I don't think I don't know that.
What?
You flip me over to do not disturb. Because I can figure it out because you always forget to take me off of it when you get back.
Listen, if there's an emergency,
like 3 or 4 days.
I'm out of town. If there's an emergency with the show, if you're like, oh, Bear cut his arm off in a tragic farming accident, and you don't know what to do, somebody will text me. Somebody will say, dude, you need to call me right now, okay? Like, I know that. But if you're just calling for like, hey, man, what's up? What you doing?
How was the gas? Okay,
check this out, man. I talked to Chance earlier today. Guess what he said? Like, it, for that, yeah, I'm not answering the phone at the beach for that. I'm not answering the phone. Man, you won't believe what Rick said on the air today. It was so stupid. I'm not answering the phone for that. That's not happening. Come on, man. Come on. And I wouldn't expect you to answer the phone from me for a similar thing.
No.
Vacation, man. I need it.
You answered the phone. You answer the phone when it matters. I'll give you that.
How are we feeling? How are we feeling about tomorrow? How are we feeling about the weekend? How about this? Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking out question of the game of the day. How many games does Tennessee win this weekend against Arkansas? 3-2-1 or 0?
Oof.
That's the question, right? I'm going to because we've already been over this several times on Hot Take, Cold Take. I've said that I think we're going to win the series. I think we're going to find a way. I don't think we're going to sweep. I mean, can you imagine if we swept the number one team in the country this weekend at home?
You're looking at a new number one.
Oh.
Yeah.
They might – Vitello might just walk in there and like Danny No-Nugs will just have to hand him the checkbook. Here, just do whatever you want. Take however much you want.
Architect and – number,
yeah, I mean, it's
a personal architect to work with.
Yeah. All right, here's
that might end the negotiation. There is no more negotiation at that point. You just have to give the man what he wants
if he's number one,
but you might have to do that anyway.
I mean, hell, I think they ought to. I don't know. I mean, I've been pretty vocal about it. I think it's pretty obvious now that this guy's a real deal, and these guys that are the real deal are they're just so few and far between in college athletics for in any sport. There's just not very many, like, tier one guys. And he's one of them. I mean, he's proven it. I mean, he's built this program into a powerhouse right now.
He built this city
on rock.
He built the city on 3-star recruits.
Is Pavlone
going to
play?
JUCOs. I'm sorry.
Is Pavlone going to play? What's the word on him, Rick?
I mean, did you?
I heard him say that he hated his walk-up music, but he's wanting to hear it a bunch this weekend.
Yeah, right before that, I asked him if Pavlone was going to play, and he said, we'll see, but he did not sound optimistic. He said that they're going to play it safe.
It's pretty much the same thing that happened during his media availability today. A little bit uncertain about what's going to happen, but that would be a huge guy to get in the roster, although I do think that Tennessee's been playing the position all right, even though he's been out.
Which game is the Checker Lindsey game?
It'll be Saturday.
Oh, God.
Be a great day, man. It's going to be a beautiful
thing. I feel like the university's throwing every bit of, like,
gasoline on the fire, man. Strike while the iron's hot.
Juju.
Yeah, why not?
Bad juju into the mix. What? I'm just kind of surprised.
There's no such thing as bad juju.
In baseball? I beg your pardon?
In life. Come on, Bear. How old are you?
I'm a firm believer in Jovu.
In you're a firm believer in what?
Jovu.
Jovu?
Remember that was that wasn't that the,
are you trying
the
to
god?
Say Jovu?
Jovu
from Major League?
Yeah, the that voodoo god of
Jovu
baseball.
Jovu was the French one. Oh, Jovu.
Jovu.
Jovu needs a refill. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very superstitious.
Well,
we've got Checker Lindsey. You know,
we got to get over that, man. I was thinking about
come
that.
Out the Smoky Grace.
I was thinking about that on the way home last night after our discussion about Peyton Manning throwing out the first pitch. It's stupid. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not blaming Peyton. I'm not blaming. Well, we wore the Smoky Grays last time. Georgia hammered us. No, Georgia beat Butch Jones's last crappy football team with JG making his first career start. That's who Georgia beat, okay? They didn't beat a bunch of fabric that Nike put together in some sweatshop in Asia.
You know, I was talking to Charlie about this morning, and you look at the Checker Lindsey, or I guess Checker Neyland, as things go so far, even though it was Checker Thompson Bowling Arena, and you look at what Peyton has come in town for, we're not doing these against homecoming games. We're not doing these against meaningless non-conference games. We're putting these at the top of the priority list against your Floridas, your Georgias, your Kentuckys, your North Carolinas in basketball. We're doing these against the biggest games. Yep. Yeah, we might have a little bit of an off win record. Duh, we're playing the best.
Trying to create a raucous home field advantage. You can call it a gimmick. I call it pulling out all the stops. I call it trying to win a game. Trying to do anything you can have that have an impact on your players, no matter how minuscule. It might have no impact. It probably doesn't. But even if it's a placebo effect impact, man, these guys are all behind us. Let's go. I'm going to try that much harder. Then that's what you're going to need, because this is the number one team in the country coming in town. So we'll see, man. Should be a fun, fun weekend. All right, Rusty Enzer in hour number two. Christopher Gabriel, you just wind him up and let him go. Hurricane Gabriel coming up on the show in just a few moments. What should we ask him? I don't know. I don't even know. I have no notes. I was just going to.
Wasn't there something going on?
Like, hits me? You know, Christopher kind of, I mean, there's a reason we call him the Hurricane. He kind of hits it and then he just kind of goes.
Hey, I know what we got to ask him about. We had talked about this earlier in the week. I want to ask him about the Athletics. If he knows anything about the Oakland A's moving and potentially what could be happening there.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. What are the chances of Nashville landing the Athletics?
Mm.
Get his thoughts on that. Or if he thinks that Oakland might pull something out in the, you know, the 11th hour to keep him.
Yeah, I think if we
I'm
got
really
a West
torn.
Coast guy.
Like part of me, I don't – it's going to be weird for Oakland not to have the A's. The Oakland A's. It's going to be weird.
It's weird for them not to have the Raiders. It's weird for the San Diego not to have the Chargers. It's weird for Seattle not to have the Supersonics, man. It's professional sports in America. These teams just move. They just pick up and move teams. I remember I grew up in an era in the 1980s where the sports landscape was really set, okay? So I grew up after the Raiders had already moved to L.A. They were the L.A. Raiders. It took a long time for me to get used to the Oakland Raiders. But remember, there just wasn't a lot of movement in the late 80s, early 90s. And I remember the concept of expansion teams really blew my mind.
Yeah, that blew my mind.
Like when
I
they
guess
started.
My first big thing was when the Colts.
Yeah, see, I don't remember. That happened, what, 83, 84 or something like that? Maybe even earlier than that?
It was in the middle of the night, and it was one of the earliest, you know, I was probably 12 or 13, but I think. But I remember it was one of the early, like, huge stories that broke on ESPN.
When is the last major expansion that we've had?
We're going through NHL. They added in the Vegas Golden Knights, and there's going to be another expansion draft with the Seattle Kraken that a lot of the NHL teams
the
right
Seattle
now.
Seattle Kraken?
The Seattle Kraken. Kraken. Kraken.
Okay, that's actually pretty cool.
Okay,
that's
here's my question.
Cool. I like it.
Does it need to be Krakens?
No, just the Kraken.
I think they always need to be plural.
Krakens. Nah. Yeah, I agree with Rick.
Always.
A Kraken is a sea monster, right?
What if you have two of them?
Ferocious, mythical sea monster, apparently.
I think you just go one.
So we are getting a little bit of a taste of the expansion draft right now for the people who maybe never saw it before. You're getting it hands-on with the NHL.
Okay. Okay, very interesting stuff. Stay with us. The Drive continues. Christopher Gabriel coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Hey.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russ LeBaire back with you. Christopher Gabriel of 940 ESPN Fresno joining the festivities on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Anytime you want to bring me in with Led Zeppelin and the great tones, the great chops of John Bonham, I am good with that.
Oh, man, was the fourth cut off Led Zeppelin 4? Right
phenomenal.
There, rock and roll. Oh, you gotta love
phenomenal.
It.
Did you ever see the Kennedy Center honoring Led Zeppelin? And they had, you know, they played any number of different songs, but they had Heart doing Stairway to Heaven, and they had John Bonham's son on drums, and a choir of about 70 or 80 people behind them doing the big chorus at the end. If you haven't seen it, Google it. It is spectacular.
Oh, it'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
Didn't they come to Thompson Bowling back in the early 90s, Page Plant? Remember when they got together
yeah.
for a tour?
Yeah, they did.
Was that any good?
No. It's not the hammer of the gods.
It's not Bonzo on drums no. and John Paul Jones
but
on bass.
It is. Plant's tear. It's crazy, isn't it, Christopher? It shows Plant up in the audience. And his tears are streaming.
Yes. They're up there, and they've got their medals on. You can see the tears. And
that's incredible,
it's
Russ.
Just a couple of feet away from them is David Letterman, who was also honored. And the dichotomy there of, you know, whatever you think of David Letterman, it's like David Letterman, big-time host, right? But then you've got three guys that are known all over the friggin' globe. It's an amazing night. The amount of artists that they had on that stage as a tribute to the guys, man, I'm getting chills thinking about that.
Now, I did one of the best concerts I've ever been to. Was right here in Knoxville when Robert Plant, remember Robert Plant and Alison Krauss put out a record like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
It was a great album. And they came through town and somebody offered me tickets and I'd never heard the album, but I was like, it's Robert Plant. Like, I'll go.
Krauss. Yeah.
And oh my God, what a perfect evening. It was at the Coliseum, man. And they did a bunch of those songs that T-Bone Burnett wrote. And then they did Going to California off Led Zeppelin 4. And Hey, What Can I Do? With mandolins and a kind of a bluegrass type vibe. Oh, it was great.
By the way, call me an Alison Krauss fan. I've heard she's a Kentucky fan, so that's not. But I am a big Alison Krauss fan.
Ah, Kentucky fan, huh? Nobody's perfect.
No.
Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect.
She has the voice of an angel, though. But she is a Kentucky fan. She is from Kentucky.
Okay.
Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN Fresno, at CG Program on Twitter with us this afternoon. Now, Christopher, we've been thinking about you this week, man, with the news that the A's are thinking about leaving Oakland. I saw the pictures a couple of months ago, the artist drawings, the mock-ups, if you will, of the new proposed stadium in Oakland. I thought, man, that looks incredible. But as we all know, these things are a lot of politics involved and all of that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts on the A's? Are they just playing hardball with the city, or do you think they could be on the way out the door?
Well, there's a lot of components to this, and hello to everybody in the beautiful part of the country that I that I have been away from too long, East Tennessee. Let me take you back a little bit, if I may, and forgive me if I take up too much of your time with this. The proposal that you're talking about, that was first unveiled 3 years ago. It's in an area of the Oakland Bay Area called Howard Terminal. It's a waterfront development, as you know. It's a shipping area. It's a shipping corridor. There's a lot of industrial operations that are there. And you're talking about a multifaceted proposal that would be about $12 billion in private investment. Those two words, private investment, are key, and I'll tell you why in a moment. You're talking about a 35,000-seat ballpark, thousands of units of what they're calling affordable housing, several million square feet of office space, retail space, a hotel. The problem with the area, and this could be fixed, but the problem is BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit. There's no stops that are in that area right now, so that would be a logistical nightmare. And if you've been to the Bay Area, you already know the easiest way to get into any stadium there, whether it's Chase Center or Oracle Park, is to parachute in. It's not a great place to go. All right, so you had the A's. They made a couple of moves last week. They publicly released the financial offer that they made to the city of Oakland. Then you had team president Dave Cavall. He sent an email to fans saying, you got to support us. They put out a petition for fans saying, you got to support us. The A's, in case some of your listeners don't know, and I think most do, of course, they started in Philadelphia in 1901. 54 years they were there. They went to Kansas City. They were there 13 years. They've been in Oakland 53 years. They've had their greatest success in Oakland. I mean, the Charlie Finley teams of 72, 73, 74. But they play in a dump. The Oakland Coliseum, which has had many different names, is a dump. So the hierarchy of the ballpark, of the ball club, is Bob Melvin, the manager, outstanding. An excellent general manager in David Forrest. President of baseball operations, Billy Bean. I mentioned Dave Cavall. But the problem is the owner, John Fisher. He's cheap. He's dishonest. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has, he doesn't oversee the day-to-day operations, but Joaquin Soria was let go. Marcus Semien was let go. Liam Hendricks was let go. So you have this plan in place, and then Major League Baseball, as you know, came out, and they have given their blessing to Oakland and John Fisher to start exploring, that was the word they used, other options. Here's the key to this deal right now. $855 million were earmarked for infrastructure improvements, a.k.a. taxpayer money. So when they call this, when John Fisher calls this a privately funded operation, no, it's not that. Eventually, the good folks in the East Bay are going to be on the hook for this. And so where this comes into play for all of you or all of y'all is, where might this team go, and what are the motives of John Fisher? I'm going to give you a parallel, fellas, if I may. I was in Minneapolis and then in Fargo when both the Twins Stadium, Target Field, was being debated in the Senate and, in the State House of St. Paul, and then the Viking Stadium. The Viking Stadium is the parallel here because too many of the politicians, really on both sides of the aisle, didn't want the stadium for any number of reasons, and then the Pope came in, Roger Goodell. Goodell came in, and he got everybody to kiss the ring, and basically within days, they figured it out, and the Vikings stayed. Here, Major League Baseball has had a quiet agreement with the A's for a couple of years now that if you want to explore, we're going to be behind you. Fisher is coming out and saying, no, this team, we want to stay in Oakland, and nobody believes it, guys. Nobody believes it, and it's tantamount also to the Oklahoma City ownership group that went to Seattle and said, no, we're not moving the Sonics. We're going to keep them right here. Nobody believed that, and we all know what happened there. So the thoughts are, where could they move if they don't get a deal done in Oakland? Because the A's plan is a little bit duplicitous. The city has had their times where they've not negotiated in good faith, so there's San Jose. Well, down there, the Giants own the rights to, the broadcast rights down there. That's probably not an option. Portland has been mentioned. Las Vegas, where the A's AAA farm club, the Aviators, has been mentioned. In your state, Nashville, Charlotte has been mentioned, and so has Montreal. I don't want to bury the lead, although it might be too late for that. I don't think that Major League Baseball wants this franchise to go to Charlotte or Montreal I think they want to stay on the West Coast. They want to keep him on the West Coast. My guess here, fellas, would be if they don't get a deal done, the obvious choices here would be to go to Las Vegas, because Vegas is going to have two more teams. They're going to get an NBA team. They're going to get a Major League Baseball team, or they're going to go to Portland. Portland has had plans and revised plans and revised plans over the last couple of years. They're ready to go. So what happens here, I'm not really sure. I will say this. I hope the team stays in Oakland. And the reason is, they, as you know, they've lost the Raiders. They've lost the Warriors. And a lot of folks that I've heard from in your audience have said, well, they didn't really lose the Warriors. The Warriors just went across the bridge. But let me tell you, going across the bridge, they've lost the team. It is a light year or two or ten difference going across the bridge to San Francisco as opposed to being in Oakland. All they are left with now is Cal and the Cal Bears team, and that ain't much, fellas.
Do you think that Major League Baseball kind of nudging, go ahead and look around a little bit. Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that the Giants are right across the bay in San Francisco? They've already got a lot of that market covered, and they just view it as an opportunity to get another franchise into an untapped TV market?
Absolutely, Russ. Absolutely. Because in Chicago, my hometown, in 1989, Jerry Reinsdorf was 2 minutes away from moving the White Sox to St. Petersburg, Florida. They had uniforms, they had new colors, they had everything. And he had the state legislature in Springfield over a barrel saying, I want my money or I'm moving the team. Most of Chicago, except for those of us who grew up with the White Sox and are still White Sox fans, most of Chicago couldn't have cared less, because the Cubs are there. The Cubs own the city. They own that big portion of the Midwest of Illinois, Iowa, southern Wisconsin, even with the Brewers and Indiana. Nobody could care less about it, couldn't have cared less about it. And to your point, the Giants have always owned the Bay Area. And I'm not knocking the A's at all, because the A's have their loyal fans. But let's remember, those 72, 73, 74 World Series teams with Reggie Jackson and Raleigh Fingers and Vita Blue, they didn't even sell out their World Series games. Now, part of that might be because of the stadium. That could certainly be it. It's a dump. But I don't think Major League Baseball would have any problem in San Francisco having the whole Bay Area to themselves, and Major League Baseball saying, yeah, you know what? Portland's a natural, because they're going to be a natural rival right up there with the Mariners. If they go to Vegas, boom, we've got a rivalry right there, even in different leagues with the Arizona Diamondbacks. But I don't think they want to go to the south or to the east coast yet. If they did, my guess would be Nashville would be the likely choice more than Charlotte.
Christopher, I figured they would want to keep him either in Las Vegas or the Portland. I'd like to see him stay on the west coast out there in Portland, but stay just here. Simply because it was going to be really hard. Like, you're going to move him all the way to Tennessee, and then what are you going to do with the division they've been playing
yeah.
in? Because you can't keep him in a Western division.
Yeah, no, that Bear, that's exactly it. And I don't think, from the people that I've spoken to, and I had a friend of ours, a broadcast journalist up in the Bay Area named Ben Ross. He was on with me yesterday. He's covered the A's for years, and you made the point that he made. Maybe you were listening to the show. And that is that the Major League Baseball is not necessarily looking for divisional or league realignment. And it's really a natural to keep them out here, because you've got them already in the state of California, across the bay from San Francisco, which is a rivalry in and of itself, in a manner of speaking. The Angels are down the road in Anaheim, and you've got the Mariners up the road in Seattle.
Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN Fresno, with us this afternoon on The Drive. All right, Christopher, speaking of another issue I know you are passionate about, this did not get a lot of coverage nationally last week, but Mark Emmert, much maligned president of the NCAA, quietly extended. I'd heard that maybe he was up to return to Baton Rouge as president of LSU, as they're going through a difficult time down there on the bayou. Looks like he's going to stay in Indianapolis for the foreseeable future. Are you surprised that with everything going on with the NCAA, all the public sentiment that has been against it for years and is now seemingly reaching a fever pitch, that they did not use this as an opportunity? And we talk about the NCAA, and I say they, we're talking about the schools, right? The member institutions, Tennessee, Alabama, Fresno, all over the world, all over the country, hundreds and hundreds of colleges that are NCAA participants. Are you surprised that they did not use this opportunity to chart a new course?
Give me a couple of minutes to go to the Roger Thesaurus so I can find a word that is more powerful than surprise. I was stunned at this move, and it's interesting that the press release went out at about 9 o'clock East Coast time a week or two ago, as you mentioned, and it was like a Friday news dump, right? It was buried under other business. Oh, by the way, at just under $3 million, we're keeping our guy Mark Emmert. A couple of thoughts about Mark Emmert. To say that he is one of the worst leaders in any sports organization would be one of the grand understatements ever. The only guy that I can think of that was a more duplicitous, deceitful, back alley guy that ran an organization was Juan Antonio Samaranch of the IOC, where it was basically, he'll go to a town, he'll go to a city and say, how much can you wine and dine me? How much can you give me and our other guys sipping our tea and cognac, and we'll maybe try to put some influence to get the Olympics to your city? Mark Emmert, I have talked to so many athletic directors, and here is the rub here, athletic directors versus college presidents, ADs who don't want him there. He is miserable in his job, and you have mostly college presidents on this board of governors who are basically like NFL owners keeping Roger Goodell in there. He's doing their bidding, and I would say one of the reasons he's in is because college presidents do not understand how college athletics work, by and large. Not all, but most. And you have college presidents at Division II and Division III schools that have no business being involved in decisions that affect Tennessee, Alabama, Michigan, USC, because those schools are in a different galaxy than the schools that you and I follow. He is a guy, Mark Emmert is a guy, that has completely screwed the pooch. We like to call it a kerfuffle on my show. He has screwed the pooch when it comes to name, image, and likeness. They are a joke when it comes to any kind of consistency in disciplinary matters. By the way, what happened with the federal corruption trial, and how are people like Will Wade and Bill Self still coaching? That's another issue, but it seems to come under their auspices. How is it that in transfer, now this is all going to change, obviously, the transfer portal, but how is it that one young man or young woman, it's usually a young man, will be in the transfer portal and boom, their transfer waiver was approved in 2 weeks. Others take 3, 4, 5 months. All of this comes under Mark Emmert, and the longer this organization in Indianapolis exists like an echo chamber, the more dysfunctional the NCAA gets. They really need to burn the place down figuratively and start over because it is a joke.
I couldn't agree more, Christopher. The thing is, it's so fashionable. It is low-hanging fruit to rip the NCAA, and we all do it. But it is a necessary organization, right? I mean, every sports league has to have a governing body. You mentioned Roger Goodell as the Pope. Rob Manfred is obviously very involved in this thing with the Oakland A's. You got to have strong leadership that is independent of the schools. And college sports is different because it's college. You have academics involved. You're not going to see the University of Tennessee pick up and move to Fresno. It's the University of Tennessee. So right. I get it. It's a totally different ball game than professional sports. But the NCAA, as it was conceived in the 1950s, it's just no longer relevant. And I can't believe that they've put it off for this long. What you're talking about, a major reckoning, a complete redoing, restructuring from top to bottom. What do we want out of our college sports? How do we want it to look? How do we want to govern it? Let's all get on the same page, agree to the rules, and move forward, because you have to let these kids have their fair share of the pie, man. I mean, it is just, it's ridiculous, bordering on criminal what they've been allowed to get away with for really the past 30 years since the money started exploding in the 1980s.
Well, Russell, that's really well said, and I've said it before. I think I've said it before, probably, you know, 6-7 months back on your program. But going back to when Nancy Skinner, state senator here in California, people can say what they want about the politics of this state, but this was one item that everybody unanimously in Sacramento voted on when she came out with her name, image, and likeness legislation. And Mark Emmert comes out in his grand wisdom and says, we're not going to stand for this. You're not going to get away with this, and we're going to clamp down on California. And basically, the noise you heard in East Tennessee was the state of California laughing at him. Because when you're talking about four Pac-12 schools, you're talking about San Jose State, San Diego State, Fresno State, Long Beach State, and Pepperdine. The NCAA needs those schools, and more specifically, the athletes from the state of California, than the state of California needs the NCAA. And then, of course, in short order, you saw states across the nation coming up with their own legislation, and now we're going to wait to see what happens in Washington. What a great idea, huh? Let's let members of Congress figure out what college athletics can do. Nothing against people like former Defense Secretary Robert Gates or former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who are, you know, accomplished individuals, smart individuals. But what are they doing involved with sports? What is Robert Gates doing on the NCAA Board of Governors? What is Condoleezza Rice, just because she went to Stanford, what is she doing helping select March Madness or the college football playoff, whichever one she's on? You're right. They need a structure. They need an organization. They need a leader. But they need somebody who is a proactive leader who is much more understanding of the day-in, day-out job of an athletic director versus the college president. You know, the Rose Bowl for years, as you know, was the one bowl game that was standing in the way of the whole BCS deal, because you had the guys that are 115 years old walking around in white jackets in Pasadena saying, oh, you know what, I'll just tell you what, we can't have the Tournament of Roses, has to say, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, and you had the Big Ten doing the same thing. You had folks out of step with the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12. You just had them completely out of step, and finally they got them on board. This is what you have here. You have college presidents who are working within a model that hasn't existed and hasn't been valid since about the 1970s. They all need to just push that aside and come into 2021.
Christopher Gabriel bringing the noise this afternoon as only he can. Last thing, Chris, we'll let you run. I know you've got thoughts. We have a huge college baseball series in Knoxville this weekend. The number one team in the country is in town, Arkansas. This town has college baseball fever for the first time in a long time, and maybe even bigger than it ever was in the three previous seasons in which Tennessee went to the College World Series. This town is ate up with it, very hungry for a winner. We are here in East Tennessee. They're pulling out all the stops, Christopher. They've got the checkerboard Neyland thing that went so well in football, and they've even done it in basketball. They're doing it in baseball for the first time. Your thoughts, how's that going to look?
Well, here's my thought, and probably an unpopular opinion. I thought the first time they did the checkerboard Neyland, it was really cool. I thought, you know, you got the whiteout at Penn State, and that's nice. We're happy for them. They got nothing else in the Happy Valley. And the checkerboard and Neil was great. But then they've done it a number of times, and it seems like, and I may be wrong, I'm trying to remember back now, but it seems like the checkerboard deal never goes well. It's always a bad effort by Tennessee. Basketball has been largely a different story. Now they're going to do it in Lindsey Nelson Stadium, and I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know, call me old-fashioned. I love when you tell the fans, let's wear orange. How about we wear orange today, and let's just do that. Let's not make the focus on let's checkerboard and go there instead and say, how about everybody in the stadium acts like the fans behind first base and bring some heat at that game and make it difficult on Arkansas? Let me just tell you about that real quickly, if I may. I remember seeing the comments, and I think you might have posted them on Twitter, of the LSU coach that was, you know, whining like a 3-year-old about the fans behind first base that make it's just horrible, you know, just really loud, and they were just bothering us, and they just, not the spirit. Oh, shut up. Just stop. You know what? I've been to games, at many games, at Death Valley and at Maravich, at the Maravich Assembly Center, And going to games down there, it's not exactly like going to the Metropolitan Opera House, all right? Those fans are dialed in. They're nasty. They're loud. And you know what? It's great. It's the way it should be. I hope every person in Lindsey Nelson this weekend is acting and using their vocal cords like those folks behind first base. As far as the teams coming in, it's interesting to see Arkansas ranked number one, Tennessee ranked number four, even though Tennessee's sitting atop the SEC East. I know a lot of fans have reached out to me saying, what do you think about that? And I said, I think one thing, just go beat them. You know, go win the series. Go win two out of three. I doubt they're going to sweep them, but go win two out of three. I mean, in the last five games that they've won in a row, they've outscored opponents 47-20. You can make yourselves number one in the nation and the new preeminent team by taking care of business at LNS.
Oh, man, Barry, you found an ally. Christopher Gabriel, he's with you. Not feeling checker knee, Lindsey.
No.
Yeah, it's done. I don't know. I guess, you know, it's cute, all right? But if they had been undefeated in Neyland with the checkerboard, I'd be like, you know what? Let's just checkerboard the streets. All right, maybe that'll be no accident. Let's just go ahead and do that. Let's checkerboard the tops of the trees in the Smokies. Let's do that too. But it hasn't worked out that well yet. So that's my big concern.
I'm with you as far as it should be a special thing. I don't think you can do it multiple times a season and maybe not even every season. So
I like that. Yeah, I like that idea. Yep.
Christopher, we like you, brother. Thank you for jumping on, lending us your expertise. I mean, only you could make whether or not the Oakland A's are going to move Oakland seem interesting for East Tennessee listeners. Fantastic job, my friend.
Thank you, sir. And, you know, it's always such a pleasure to jump on with you guys. I love coming on with you. Love your show. Love the station. The great folks of East Tennessee are so kind to drop me notes both in emails as well as on Twitter, and I appreciate all of them, and I always try to respond. If I don't respond, it's just because I didn't see it. But I love coming on your show, fellas.
Thank you, Chris. What do you got on the CG program today?
You know what I have on today? The San Francisco Giants. They're in Pittsburgh, so we get bumped. So I'm going to have what amounts to a 90-second show. So we're doing something a little special at the beginning of the show for 90 seconds. Like we say on this program, it may only be 90 seconds, but we're still full service.
Outstanding. At CG Program. Follow him on Twitter, folks. Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
You too. Christopher Gabriel on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Bringing it strong this afternoon.
Yeah. It'll take a while to unpack everything.
I hope the A's stay put because I just hate it when teams move, and I would hate it for the people of Oakland.
I don't see any way they come to Nashville.
But if they move, I wish they would.
I do too. But I do think that, yeah, I mean, it would not surprise me if Major League Baseball doesn't have a plan to get a team into the Nashville market sometime in the next 10 years. Would it you? I just think the team's going to come from, like,
moving a baseball team is big business. And we've been hearing about a team in Nashville for
a long time. I think the team that if they were going to move a team, the team that I think Major League Baseball would want to move to Nashville would be the Rays, because that way they could put Nashville in the AL East.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some talk about that too, as well as Charlotte,
New York, and Boston, and Nashville, Baltimore.
Oh man, that would be fun.
Pretty much take over the whole East Coast.
Stay with us. The drive continues. We got to take a quick timeout right here. We'll open up the phones to you. 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on the G3 Help Me Hotline. 546-8200. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire back with you. Rick Butler, Mr. Fabulous, hanging out in the Fan Run studios with us. 865-546-8200. Christopher Gabriel, 940 ESPN. Rick Butler, what did you learn?
Well,
I changed it up there. You see what I did?
Yeah, because you know I paid attention to Chris.
I was a little caught off guard, I got to admit. But I'm glad we've delayed.
You see what I'm going through?
Yeah, but I'm glad we've delayed in these seconds, because as I'm talking, I'm pulling in
Quit stalling.
Your brain starts working overtime.
All right, so I did think that one thing, and I kind of mouthed it out loud when he said it, but he was kind of saying that, you know, hey, why can't we just tell the fans, go in the stands and make a bunch of noise like in the first base sideline? And I kind of think, why can't you do both? Why can't you say that and do the checker Lindsey Nelson thing? But that was the only kind of thing that kind of caught me off guard. Everything else about the Oakland Athletics, very fascinating. The thing that Portland could be a city of interest, very fascinating.
That would be a cool spot for the A's.
And then the last thing I thought was, he mentioned that, hey, Vegas, they're definitely going to get an NBA team. They're going to get an MLB team. It's only a matter of time, and I did not know that either.
I think the thing that Vegas would have over Portland, and it would, I mean, it's Vegas.
Well, yeah,
it'd be
everything over Portland.
More money to spend on your line, you know, your roster.
Sure.
Compete for world.
Yeah, it'll world be interesting. To me, this reeks, and obviously they don't hold that owner in high self-esteem locally down there, but to me, it very much reeks of hardball tactic, negotiating tactics. Okay, we've been talking about this baseball stadium for long enough. It's time to poop or get off the pot. And we're gonna dangle that carrot in front of Nashville. We'll dangle in front of Portland, Las Vegas, wherever. But it feels like they would prefer to stay put. I mean, you've seen the drawings for that stadium. It looks amazing. Right there on the bay. I feel like they would rather the stadium in Oakland. Yeah, I feel like they would rather have that if they have their druthers. But he wants that public investment. He doesn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
Nashville.
It's really kind of dirty. It's one of the things that the more I watch it, the more I like it. Is the Premier League with, like, you'd never see, like, Man City isn't leaving Manchester. You aren't moving that team.
No.
I mean, there'd be World War III, wouldn't there?
Well, I don't even know if you can. I mean, that's a different deal. I mean, it's much more like college sports, like we were talking about with the university.
Yeah, it's just a big part of me doesn't – I don't want to see the A's leave Oakland.
No, I don't either.
Lost other teams.
It is interesting. The Nashville Sounds, when they redid that stadium in downtown Nashville a couple of years ago, they made it much like – General Nealon, when he was designing Nealon Stadium in the 1930s for the long haul, he envisioned 100,000 seats and an upper deck. And by and large, they've stayed true to those designs that General Nealon, who was an engineer, came up with way back when. And Nashville, when they designed that stadium, I don't know how much, I believe it seats maybe 10,000 or something like that. But they did do the design to where it could eventually expand into the surrounding areas and become a major league baseball stadium. So they've already got the infrastructure there to do it. It's just a matter of finding a team.
Well, I think what plays into it there is what I was talking about, is Major League Baseball they loathe, like, any kind of realigning of divisions.
Yeah,
the Oakland A's are, I mean, they're a West Coast team. They need to stay out there.
They might. I understand that creates headaches, but it's all about TV markets and how many households are in a market and how much more advertising can they sell on these TV contracts and things like that. And if they can find those numbers to their liking, they'll do whatever they have to do and shuffle those teams around. And they've done it, what, three or four times over the last 30 years.
I just think that Nashville, they're going to want an American League team, and I think they're going to want it to be – I've always thought – and I've read stuff where they always wanted to be the Rays, or they've talked about it before.
I don't think they have a preference. I think they take whatever. But, the Rays, I mean, that's an interesting situation too, is they had they built that stadium down there with the intention of luring a baseball team to it all along, and they didn't for like the first 10 years of its existence.
Right.
And then they finally got the team down there during the 1990s, and they had that classical baseball stadium craze that had started with Camden Yards in Baltimore, and all of a sudden they've got the ugliest stadium in Major League Baseball, and they haven't changed it this entire time. And I'm not sure what the local scene is down there, why they can't get themselves a decent stadium, but yeah, I mean, that Major League Baseball should not be played in a dome in the year 2021. Just shouldn't. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. We got the NFL schedules out yesterday. We've got the fuel shortage solved, hopefully. We have a Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question for you. We have Rusty Enzer coming up in hour number two. We have a lot to get to. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up.